الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا اللهم زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to all of you inshallah for tonight's halaqa, that we pray to Allah He makes it beneficial and a means of comprehending the teachings of His religion inshallah ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, we're actually covering a very important subject, and this is a topic where you find many Muslims don't have knowledge about it, or they're confused about it, and they don't know the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ regarding this issue. And that is the topic of the sajdat as-sahu, or the prostration of forgetfulness. So inshallah tonight we're going to discuss this topic on the sajdat as-sahu. And our ulama, they teach us first of all that forgetting things is the sunnah of our father Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam, he was in Jannah, and Allah commanded him not to eat from the tree, and then he forgot and he ate from the tree, as Allah says, فَنَسِيَ. He ate from the tree and he forgot. And us being the children of Adam, we are not free from forgetting things in our acts of worship. So here we have the subject of forgetting certain aspects of the prayer. And how does one compensate for missing those aspects of the prayer? And so inshallah we'll look at some texts of the Prophet ﷺ when he left out, or he was made to leave out, certain parts of the prayer, and he did sajdat as-sahu, the two prostrations of forgetfulness in the end inshallah ta'ala. And we'll talk about this issue and what the scholars have said regarding how to do the sajdat as-sahu, inshaAllah. So the first hadith, it's narrated by Abdullah ibn Buhayna radiallahu anhu, and he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed dhuhr with the sahaba, and then after two rakahs, when he finished the second rakah, the sajda, he stood up. We all know, right? In the second rakah, when we finish the sajdas, the sunnah is to do what? To sit down and to read the tashahud in that sitting position before standing up. But in this case, the Prophet ﷺ, he stood up in the second rakah. So the sahaba, they noticed that he stood up, and the text says, so they stood up with him. They stood up with the Prophet ﷺ. So here, it's very interesting actually. This hadith, the scholars, they analyze this hadith. A few things that they mention. When the Prophet ﷺ stood up, they stood up with him. And then in the end, they were expecting him to say taslim, but instead he did two sajdas. He said Allahu Akbar, he did a sajda, then he came up, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar again, he did a second sajda, he came up, and then he gave the taslim to his right and to his left. So here in this story, this situation that happened, the scholars, they look at this text and they say a number of things. Number one, when the Prophet ﷺ stood up after two rakahs, the sahaba, they stood up with him. And they followed the Prophet ﷺ. They didn't stay sitting down and ask the Prophet ﷺ or try to make him come back and sit down. And so here the scholars, they say that following the imam, if he has stood up from the first sitting, he stands up. The sahaba, in some narrations, they said, they tried to indicate to him, they said subhanallah, they tried to tell him that they're supposed to be sitting. And in some narrations, the Prophet ﷺ indicated to them to stand up. So the first fiqhi ruling we learn from this hadith is that if the imam stands up, and the ulama, they say, the fuqaha, this is the view of Imam Ahmad and others, that if the imam has come more than halfway up to standing, he's not close to the ground, but he's more than halfway up to standing, then if he realizes or he's told that he was supposed to sit and he forgot, should he go back down? He's more than three quarters of the way up, or more than halfway up to standing. Should he go back and sit down for the sitting of the first tashahhud? Here in this case, the Prophet ﷺ, did he go back down? He told the Sahaba, stand up. Because the ulama say that once a person has begun the next rukun, which is the standing for the next part of the prayer, they shouldn't leave it and go back to the sunnah. The sitting down was a sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ already came up, he's starting his third rak'ah. It's not right to leave that and go back and sit down. However, if he was close to getting up, and the Sahaba were very quick, or the people, the ma'mum, they're very quick, and they say, SubhanAllah, before he even comes more than halfway up, then in such a case, then the imam can go back down and sit back down. So this is the first lesson that we learn, that if the imam has come up more than halfway, and he didn't do the first tashahhud, then he should keep going up. And the second lesson we learn is that the people behind the imam, should they follow their imam, or should they sit and do their tashahhud? They follow the imam. This is what the Prophet ﷺ, he indicated to the Sahaba to stand up. And we have other texts that say that the imam has been placed to be followed. And even though the Sahaba knew that there's supposed to be a sitting, they used to follow him in all the other salah. When they saw him get up and he told them to stand up, they followed their imam. So in this case, standing up, the people should stand up with the imam. Another lesson we learn from this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ, before finishing the prayer, when he got up, the people followed him. And then in the end of the prayer, before saying salam, he said Allahu Akbar, and he made a sajda, came up, went down again, made another sajda, and came up, and then said after that, Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah to his right, and Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah to his left. So here, the scholars, they talk about the issue of making sajda to sahu, the actual two sajdas that are made to compensate for making an act of forgetfulness in the prayer. And they say, our ulama say, that doing the sajda to sahu, the makeup, the sahu means forgetting, doing the sajda to sahu is for two things, one of two things. Either leaving something out from the prayer, leaving out a sitting of the prayer, or leaving out reciting certain surah, for example, in the first rak'ah. For those, some ulama consider it a sunnah to do that. If one normally does that, they might read the sajdah to sahu. It could be for leaving something out or adding something to the prayer. You could do the sajdah to sahu if you left out the sitting for the tashahhud, or you could do the sajdah to sahu if you stood up for a fifth rak'ah, for example. That would also be a place of sajda sahu. Or if somebody added an additional sitting, by accident he sat down in the first rak'ah, then he remembered, oh, this is the first rak'ah, and he stands up. This is also adding. Adding an extra rak'ah, or forgetting a rak'ah. If somebody, they forgot to pray the fourth rak'ah, they said salam, and they said, oh, I forgot. So then they stand up, and they add one more rak'ah, and then they do the sajda sahu, and they make taslim. So sajda sahu, it's only for one of two things: leaving out or adding something extra. Leaving out the first sitting of tashahhud, or adding an extra rak'ah. These are the two cases when sajda sahu is done. Now the question comes up, when do you do the sajda sahu? When do you do it? Does anybody know? Before the salam? After the salam? Before and after. MashaAllah. These are the three views amongst our ulama. Alhamdulillah. Some ulama, they say based on this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, they were waiting for him to say salam. But he didn't say salam, he said, Allahu Akbar. And so he did the sajda, two sajdas before giving the salam. So some ulama, they go based on this hadith, they say that the sajda sahu is before the salam. It's before you say salam, you do two sajdas, and then you salam and finish the prayer. And that's the view of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. That clear some, they say for every mistake, adding or subtracting, you'd always do the sajda sahu when? Before finishing, before the taslim, based on this hadith. There's another view, when this is the view of the Ahnaf. Who's from Pakistan? The Ahnaf, when do they do the sajda sahu? After the salam. They give a salam, one or two, they do one, I think most of them they do one, and then they do the sajda. So they give the sajda, they do the sajda sahu always after. Always, no matter if you subtracted something or you added something. According to that view, you do the salam first, then you do two sajdas, and then you do another salam afterwards. And this is based on another hadith which is coming. It's called the hadith of Dhul Yadain. There's a sahabi, they said he had really long arms. So they used to call him Dhul Yadain, the man with long arms. And in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he actually said salam, and then after that he did his, he added the rakahs and he did another salam. And there's another text also that shows he did the salam first, and then he did sajda, and then he did the salam again. So this is the view of always doing the sajda after the salam, is the view of who? Abu Hanifa al-Ahnaf rahimahumullah. Is that it? Some of the scholars, they took from both narrations, and they actually came up with a third view. And this view is the view of Imam Malik rahimahullah, and perhaps this is the main view of the school of Imam Ahmad. And what do they say? You do the sajda sahu, can you do it before or after? They say, you do it before if you left something out, naqas. You do the sajda first, then you do salam. But if you added something, you added an extra rakah, then in this case, you salam first, then do the sajda, and then salam again. So if you're adding something extra, for any addition, then you do the salam first. Before the, you do the, when you add something, you do the sajda first, then you salam. If you left something out, if you left something out from the prayer, this is the view of Imam Malik. He combines the view of Shafi and Abu Hanifa. He says for a naqas, for leaving something out, then, let me rephrase it. When you leave something out, you do sajda when? Before. And if you added something, you do sajda after. And the way that I remember, maybe it'll help you remember, is that if you left something out, you want to add the sajdas to complete your prayer, right? Before you say salam, you need to fill in that shortcoming. So you do the sajdas first, and then you salam out, right? But if you did something additional, so what do you want to do? You want to leave the prayer first, because you're adding something extra, you want to finish your prayer, and then you do the extra sajdas as a form of for asking forgiveness for that addition that you added. I don't know if that makes sense. If you left something out of the prayer, say you left out, let's give some example, inshallah, if you left out the first tashahud, you stood up for the third rakah, we can remember this example here, maybe that's easiest. And you left out the first sitting, like the Prophet ﷺ did in this hadith. So you stand up, he stood up and he completed his prayer, they were waiting for him to give salam. Did he give salam? No, he did the sajdas first. So if we remember this example, inshallah that will help us. That he did the sajdas first, And then he salamed and finished his prayer. When he left something out. And the other hadith of Dhul Yadain, and there's another hadith where he... there's a hadith when he added a fifth rakah. And in that hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ added a fifth rakah, he salamed out first, then he did the sajda, and then he salamed again. I know it's a little bit confusing, so... should I repeat the three madahib again? Or is it clear for everybody? Shafi'is, that you do the sajda before always. The Hanafis, you do the sajda after salam always. And Malik and Ahmad, depending on if you left something out or you added. If you left something out, you had a shortcoming, then they say you do the sajdas before, like Shafi. If you added something additional, then you say salam, and then you do the sajdas to make up for that addition. So this is basically the scholars, depending on which text they used, or if they tried to use more than one text, and tried to apply each one in each scenario, in each situation. So, the... Yes? Reading the tashahud after doing the sajda sahu, the majority they say you don't have to do that. I think in the Hanafi school they say you repeat the first tashahud again. Right? You say salam, you do the sajdas, then you come with the first tashahud again, and then you salam and finish. It's in the Hanafi school. But the majority, they do the sajdas and they go out. The brother maybe will give us more clarity. The tahiyyatu lillahi until ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad al-Rasul.
They salam out in between this and the salawat.
Okay.
Okay,
so they read to the shahadatain, and then they salam, and then they read the Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and then they salam again. Okay, so this is a little bit more detail on the Hanafi school, but I don't want to get into too much confusion on that issue. The sajda sahu is a lot of detail to it. A couple more points, inshallah, about the sajda sahu. The sajdas that we do for sajda sahu, are they different than the sajdas we do in our regular prayer? Do we say anything different? Do we have to say something special when we go for the sajda?
No.
There's nothing different. The text here, just say Subhana Rabbi al-Ana, Subhana Rabbi al-Ana. When we come up from the first sajda to sahu, we say the same dua, Allahumma gfirli warhamni wa'afani, the dua. I don't know how authentic, if there's a text that says that you say that particular text that you say that, but you can make any du'as like in any sajda, inshallah. I don't know, I'm not familiar with any authentic hadith on that. Okay, so the way of doing the sajda is the same as we do in the rest of the prayer, inshallah ta'ala. A couple more points that the ulama talk about is that when we talk about the sajda sahu, the Prophet ﷺ, did he forget? This is a question that when we study aqidah, is it possible for Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to forget things? Because it would appear in this hadith, in the next hadith also, the Prophet ﷺ says that he prayed asr salah, and he gave salam after two rakahs. And then he stood up and he was leaning on a tree or some wood in the masjid. And then the Sahaba were there, Abu Bakr and Umar, and they started talking to one another. Something happened, there was only two rakahs. So Dhul Yadain, the Sahabi, he stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, has the salah been shortened or did you forget? And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the salah has not been shortened, and I didn't forget. So then he asked the rest of the Sahaba, is it right what Dhul Yadain said, that we only pray two? They all said yes. So then he stood up, said, Allahu Akbar, pray two more rakahs. And then he said the salam. And then he did two sajda to sahu, and then he salamed in the end. So that text, it will appear that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ forgot to pray four, because normally he would always pray four. And so the Sahaba, they knew that something was different, they asked him. And he said, he didn't recall that he had forgotten or to pray the last two rakahs. So the question comes up, can Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam forget?
Yes.
Yes. If we say that yes, he could forget, then that might be a means of doubting the risala, because the message, he's been commanded to convey the message of Islam, to convey the Quran to the ummah. And if he were to forget some things, then he might have, it would kind of lay some doubt on the religion. Maybe something was forgotten from the religion. So most of the ulama, what they say is that, and if there's a text in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I do not forget, but I am made to leave some things out, or I'm made to forget so that I may lay down a sunnah. The text is in the Muwatta of Imam Malik. Some of the ulama, they studied this, and they said, the Prophet ﷺ said, I don't forget, but I am made to forget so that I can show the sunnah for the people. Imagine if the Prophet ﷺ never forgot to pray, never made any forgetfulness in any of the salawat. He never missed a rakah, or he never missed a tashahud. And then he passed away. And then afterwards the imams lead the prayer and they leave things out. Would they know what to do in such a case? There would be no sunnah to follow. So it was from the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he destined that the Prophet ﷺ would be made to forget certain things in order to legislate or to show the ummah what to do in such cases. Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself took the responsibility of guarding it. I mean, in the Quran is
no. And we read in Sabbih Isma Rabbika al-A'la, الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى فدد إلا ما شاء الله. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, you do not forget except if Allah wants. So it's the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a shortcoming in the risala, it's actually a perfection of the risala, so that the religion becomes complete and perfected. مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِي بِخَيْرًا مِنْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would cause the messenger to leave out certain texts for a reason, because Allah is bringing something better than it. And the scholars, they agree on this, that that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to the tabligh, the risala, he cannot forget things. When it comes to worldly matters, as a human being, did he eat or he did not eat something? Did he meet his wife or he didn't meet his wife? Did he pay somebody back or he didn't pay him back? These worldly matters, the ulama say that it's possible that he might be, just like he's a human being. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. So he's a bashar, he's a human being, in those worldly matters. But when it comes to the risala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has guarded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from those things. A third point the scholars mention in the hadith of Dhul Yadayn, actually Imam Abdul Barr, I believe, he wrote that from that hadith of the man with the two long arms and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, did the praise get, the salah get shortened, or did you forget? Imam Abdul Barr said, I derived 150 ahkam from this hadith. But the main teachings of that hadith, there's the fiqhi ruling of when to do the sajda sahu. There's the aqidah ruling, which we just talked about. Can the Prophet ﷺ forget or not? And there's also something in what they call jurisprudence, which is, can the speech or the khabar of one person be accepted when it comes to matters of the religion? What they call, in hadith science, they call it ahad. A hadith, when only one sahabi narrates it, they call it ahad. When it has a few sahabi, they call it mashhur. And when it has a lot of sahaba, what do they call that? Mutawatir. Mutawatir. These are different types of hadith. Mutawatir was when there's a lot of sahaba that narrate it. It's impossible that they all made a mistake or they all tried to fabricate it. Mashhur is when a number of Sahaba narrate it. Ahad is when only one Sahabi narrates it. So when it comes to those hadith that only one Sahabi narrates, is that hadith usable? Is it permissible as evidence in the Islamic law? And so the ulama, they look at the hadith of Dhul Yadayn. Dhul Yadayn said, "O Messenger of Allah, you only prayed two rakahs." The Prophet ﷺ, did he right away say Allahu Akbar and pray two more? He asked the rest of the Sahaba. Is what Dhul Yadayn said correct? This is one person's narration. But let me make sure, because this is an important issue, the salah, the validity or invalidity of the salah, let me ask the other Sahaba. And they said, yes, what he said the truth. So then he accepted that khabar. So in some of the fuqaha, the ones that look at this hadith, they say that when it comes to an ahad hadith in a matter that concerns the whole ummah, a major matter, then they say that there should be more narrations. And they give the example that if the imam was giving a khutbah and something happened, he fell down from the minbar, and all the people witnessed it, but only one person out of all these people narrate about it. They said this is not correct. If everybody witnessed it, you would have more than one narration about it. And so the Hanafiya, they don't accept ahad narrations when it contradicts a more general principle. And for example, the hadith of Busra, there's a woman, a female sahabi, she's the only sahabiya. She says that a man who touches his private part has to make wudu. She's the only one. So Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, in his school, he says that out of all of these sahaba, and wudu and ghusl is something very big, right? Everybody has to know what nullifies wudu. Out of 100,000 sahaba, only one person narrates a hadith about it, and she's a woman. So he says that this hadith, it contradicts another hadith. So in his scales, there's another hadith that says that it's only a part of you. You don't have to make wudu when you touch it. So Abu Hanifa, he says, there's another hadith that says the private part is part of you. If you touch it, it's like any other part. And here's the hadith of Busra, who says that you have to make wudu when you touch your private part. So which one does he accept? He doesn't accept Busra's hadith because for him, one narrator is not sufficient to contradict a general principle, which is nothing breaks wudu unless you have a text. So in the Hanafi school, touching the private part, it doesn't break the wudu, because it's an ahad. And he could use this text, the Ahnaf could use the hadith of Dhul Yadayn as a proof, because the Prophet ﷺ, he wanted to confirm what had happened with the rest of the Sahaba. And of course the other ulama, they have other proofs. They say that you can use a singular hadith for a proof, and they talk about the changing of the Qibla. Anybody know about the Masjid Qiblatain? And the Sahabi, a messenger came and he said that the Qibla has been changed. And all of the Sahaba, they turned around based on the khabar of one person. So each, they say that it's sufficient to have one narrator to prove a hukum, inshaAllah. Okay, so this is basically what we learn about Sajda Sahu, inshaAllah ta'ala. That it's done. Yes, brother. Brother.
Okay. If someone added third rakah with the two or fifth rakah with the four, for example, he made mistakenly extra rakah. So what should he do before he really said the rakah? Do he do the sixth rakah to make it even, or he will leave it and just do the sixth rakah?
Okay. It's a good question. If a person adds a fifth rakah by accident and he remembers, or he's told afterwards, a few things that I'm glad that you brought this up. Number one, if the imam were to stand up for a fifth rakah, should the people follow the imam in the fifth rakah? In this case, it's different than in the previous case when he stood up and didn't do the tashahud. When he stood up and he didn't do the tashahud, he left out a sunnah. But he didn't do anything wrong that would invalidate the prayer. Leaving out the first tashahud, does it invalidate the prayer? The ulama say no, it's a sunnah. However, if you add a fifth rakah on purpose, what happens to the prayer? The prayer is nullified. You cannot add an extra rukun. You cannot do a third sajda. You cannot do a second rukur. That would invalidate the prayer. So here, the ma'mum, the people following, if the imam is standing up for a fifth rak'ah, they say subhanallah. And they let the imam know and if the imam realizes that he made a mistake, he should sit down, even if he came all the way up. Because in this case, he's doing something that is invalid. It's an extra rak'ah, so he goes down, even if he started the fifth rak'ah. If he thinks that I only did three, I'm pretty sure I only did three, he continues with that extra rak'ah. And the people behind him, they're sure they did four, they stay sitting. Each one follows their yaqeen, their certainty. The people, they know, the ma'mum, they know that they prayed four, they stay sitting. The imam, he's doubtful, did he pray three or four? He's allowed to continue because he has to have yaqeen that he did four. He shouldn't, if he doubts that he thinks he only did three, he shouldn't say salam. He should make sure that he did four. So in the case that he's still doubtful after they say subhanallah, they say subhanallah, but he says, I really think I only did three. He continues and he finishes. And the people, if they know they did four, they stay sitting. And then he comes down and then he says salam, and they say salam. So the people, they follow the imam if he left something out that's a sunnah and he goes to a rukun, something that's valid, they can follow and go to that next thing. But if he's adding a fifth rukah, he's doing a third sajda, in that case there's no following in those cases, inshallah. In the end, when he does the sajda sahu, he added a fifth rukah and he doesn't know if it was a fourth or a fifth, so he does a sajda for doubt.
Came to know at the end when he sit down after
yes.
doing fifth rakah, he realized that he did
yes.
fifth rakah. So what should he do?
He does sajda. He does a sajda. And the people who prayed four, did they do sajda too?
Yes.
They do. They follow the imam. They do the imam does the sajda due to his forgetfulness, and the people do the sajdatain due to following of the imam. They didn't forget. They knew that it was an extra rakah, but they still follow their imam. We always follow the imam when he does sajda to sahu. If he forgot and we didn't forget, we still follow the imam. When the Prophet ﷺ stood up, he forgot to do the first tashahud. The sahaba didn't forget. They said subhanallah. They wanted him to do that sitting. But in the end, they still followed Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in doing the sajda to sahu. He did the sajda to sahu, Rasulullah ﷺ, because he forgot. He was made to forget. And they did the sajda sahu because they're following the imam. They didn't forget, but you follow the imam in the sajda sahu. Yes, brother.
How do you differentiate between following the imam in the sajda but not following him during the fifth part?
Okay. If the imam does two sajdas in the end, sajda sahu, that this doesn't invalidate the prayer. It wouldn't be something that the imam, he does this because of some doubt he had in the prayer, or he left something out, or he added something. And so the people, they should always follow the imam. The general ruling is you always follow the imam in everything that he does, unless he does something that invalidates the prayer. If he does something that would, do you know what I mean by invalidating prayer? Like adding an extra rukun or leaving a rukun out. In those cases, we don't, like say the imam only did one sajda and then he stood up. In this case, we have to tell the imam to do the second sajda. We shouldn't follow him. If he still stands up, then you stand up with the imam, but you have to repeat that rak'ah in the end. That rak'ah would not be valid because it was only one sajda in that rak'ah.
If once it becomes invalid, then how the rest of the prayer will be valid if the imam is not valid?
If the imam
becomes invalid doing something.
Give me an example. Give me an example.
Like he did fifth rak'ah.
Okay. Doing the fifth rak'ah on purpose, knowing that it's a fifth rak'ah, that would invalidate the prayer. So me, I know that I did four rak'ahs. If I get up and do a fifth one, my prayer is no good anymore. I added a fifth rakah, and it's not allowed to add something.
On purpose,
on purpose, if you are leaving sunnah on purpose, if you are leaving the sunnah even in a prayer, that is invalid too.
If you leave out a sunnah, that doesn't invalidate the prayer. The sunnah is by definition that you do it, you get a reward, but if you leave it out, you won't be punished for it. So in this case, if you purposely do a fifth rakah, that would break your prayer. The imam didn't do it on purpose, so he's forgiven for that forgetfulness.
Someone prays like you are not on purpose doing something.
Right, yes.
But whatever happens, like whenever it happened mistakenly.
Yes.
So we are discussing like if something happened like this, mistakenly.
Yes. When you follow, you don't follow the mistakes. If the imam stands up and he's doing the third rakah, you're following him in the salah itself. You're not following a mistake. He's doing now the third rakah, and we're supposed to follow the imam in general. So you're not following a mistake. You're following the imam in the salah, right? When he stands up. But when you follow him in the fifth rakah, you're following a mistake. This is a mistake that's being done. There's no fifth rakah, so then there's no following in that. But when you, so it's different, it depends on if he's doing something that's a mistake, we don't follow that, inshallah. Yes, brother.
Wa
alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My question is that, if I forget any part of salah, and I finish my salah and I go get out from the mosque and I remember that people, and I come back, and I'm allowed to make the asr again,
if you left something out that's a sunnah, your prayer is valid, no problem. Even you left, you did asr, but you just remembered after a while, I didn't do my first tashahud. Your prayer is valid, it's fine, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do sajda sahu later on because it's too late. The time is past for the sajda sahu. If you remembered before leaving the masjid, or you just finished your prayer, then you can, if you remembered that you left something out, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, exactly. If you didn't have a long period of time go by, you can come back and complete your prayer. But if it's been a long period of time, you have to start the whole prayer over again. You're even allowed to talk during that time. The Prophet ﷺ, he stood up and he was leaning on the tree, and then this Dhul Yadayn comes. Did the prayer get short, or did you forget? He said, "No, I didn't forget." He talked to the other Sahaba. All of that transpired, and yet still he stood up and just prayed two more. He didn't start a new prayer because the time was very short. It was only a few moments. It wasn't more than a couple moments before he did it. But if you leave the masjid, it's like a very long period of time, then you have to start a new prayer, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, brother.
However, is Muftari is a woman. In general, is the man can say subhanallah. What about the woman?
There's a hadith we read that's in this chapter that the women, the Prophet ﷺ said, Tasbih innama tasbihu lirrijal wa tasfiqu lin-nisa. So if the imam, he adds a fifth rakah, the men, they say Subhanallah. For the women, if the women are there and there's maybe just one imam leading or so on, then they clap. They make a sound like this, or they use the back of their hand. It's not clapping like this, but they just say, just putting their hand like this, so the imam thinks, oh, something happened, and then he can correct his prayer, inshallah. But they shouldn't say tasbih loudly, because that might be a distraction to the imam, inshallah, or to the men that are there, inshallah ta'ala. Some ulama, they said even outside of prayer, they made an analogy, this is for within prayer, the clapping, but even outside of prayer, they said it's not really manly for men to clap. Some, they gave that analogy. Allahu a'lam. Jazakallahu khair. Yes, brother.
My question is again, not for the jama'ah, but if someone is praying individually and he adds,
if a person, he's praying alone and he doesn't know, say he's done four rakahs,
but he thought that this is my call.
He thought, he had a doubt. This is a good point. We said that you do the sajda sahu if you add or if you subtract. There's a third scenario when you have a doubt. when you doubt it, did I do two sajdas or did I only do one, and you have a doubt in your mind, or did I pray three or pray four? So when you're praying by yourself, there's a ruling, and if you're praying as imam, there's a different ruling. When you're praying by yourself, the scholars, they say, if you doubt whether you prayed three or four, you should add one more. Add one more, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, if it was three, then the fourth will complete it. And if it was four, you made five, Allah will make it complete. Allah will make it witr for you. So you add one more, just to be sure. Because you don't want to have a doubt about a rukun of the prayer. And then you do two sajdas in the end, inshaAllah ta'ala. In this case, if you added an extra rak'ah, you had a doubt about it, and you're adding an extra rak'ah, again, it goes back to the madahib. Some madahib, you say, always do it before, you do it after. Or if you're adding an extra rak'ah, then according to the view of Ahmed and Malik, what do? If you added a fifth rak'ah for an addition? Afterwards, yes. Good, you got it. And if you did a naqas, according to Ahmed and Malik, then you do the sajda before, inshaAllah. Jazakallah khair. Yes, brother, fadl.
What are mistakes, if you start reciting loudly at the time it's over?
Yes.
I mean, you just, made a mistake. You don't have to do it.
Okay, one very, very, very important point I forgot to mention. Jazakallah khair, and I'll answer your question. Whether you do all the complete agreement of all the Imams, Imam Nawawi, Imam Ibn Abdul Bari, Imam Ahmad, all of them, they completely agree that doing it before or doing it after, it doesn't make the prayer invalid or not. They just say which one is better. So if you did it before, you did it after, or you did it either way, they say it does not make your prayer invalid. None of the ulama say that. They just say, is it more virtuous? Is it closer to the sunnah? So don't worry if you say, I forgot. Are you trying to think of the fiqh lesson? I made a mistake. What am I supposed to do? Sajda before or sajda after? Whichever one you do, your prayer is still valid, inshallah. It's just a question of the scholars differed which one is better. You see that? So either one, that if you're praying behind an imam, or even if you're praying by yourself, it won't invalidate your prayer. Say that you added a fifth rak'ah, and then you did the sajdas before saying salam. And then you said, oh, I just remembered that we're supposed to do the salam first and then do the sajdas. It's no problem, inshallah. The prayer is still correct. It's just the scholars, the only difference they had is which one is more virtuous, inshallah. So that I think is an important point. And then the question the brother has, if you say it loudly in a prayer, the ulama, they say that saying the Quran loudly or silently is a sunnah of the prayer. It's not an obligation of the prayer. So if somebody, they were to recite it a little bit loudly, inshallah, that wouldn't affect their prayer at all, inshallah. It's just a sunnah to say it silently. Dhuhr, Asr, we say it quietly. This is a sunnah, this is the way the Prophet ﷺ did it. If you were to say it loudly, the prayer is still correct and invalid. I don't know that you would have to do sajd as-sahu in that case. I don't think that would be necessary to do it, inshallah. Yes. Yes.
And silence is from the wajibat of salah, and if it's
in the Hanafi school? Okay. Jazakallah khair. This issue of such the sahu is a very complex issue. I tried to make it as simple as possible for all of us, but there's, and all the madahib, if we were to go into the details, is an extremely complex issue. We tried to make it as simple as possible for all of us, inshallah, but there is a lot of branches. Even there's more, there's some scholars, they say that every mistake has a specific way of doing sajda, either before or after. Each one you take on a case, you study all the hadith, and there's a view that, that each mistake has a way doing it before or doing it after. But what we talked about today is basically the major views amongst the ulama. And there's a lot of, more details of it, inshallah, like the brother mentioned. If you say it out loud or say it quietly, I guess the brother said that in the Hanafi school you do sajda. You do sajda, right? In the end, that's... Or does it...
If it's not a mistake, if you continually finish the whole rak'ah, if it is...
Loudly.
Jahal salah, and you do it silently, yes. Sajda, or if you're reminded...
But if you just said it a little bit and then you stop, there's no sajda.
If you remember,
Also in the Hanafi school, they say that if you left out the Fatiha, by accident. According to them, you do sajda to sahu in the end and your prayer is still down. Isn't that right?
Not for the Fatiha.
Not for the Fatiha. That's in the Jumhur, but as far as I know, in the Hanafi school, it's not a rukun. In the Hanafi school. Anyways, there's a lot more to it, inshallah. Is there any other questions, inshallah? No, I'm saying,
Papa. This is a sunnah.
You have to do with. Okay, good. The sajda sahu is in the fard and the sunnah. It's in the nafl and yes, it applies in both. Like even say tarawih, the imam made a mistake. He added an extra rakah. He'll make it. Sometimes what they do, they'll make it four after that, and then they'll do sajda sahu. Even in the sunnah and the nafl, the sajda sahu, it applies in both cases. Inshallah ta'ala. No. Khair, inshallah. Is it clear? Everybody's mind? Yes, brother. Yes, brother.
Let's say you just finished the farz.
Yes.
Kind of doing a little bit, or maybe even say something, and then you remember you did something wrong.
Yes. The Prophet says, and he completed his prayer. He did the sajda sahu. Remember, he talked to the other sahaba. He moved around, but it has to be a short amount of time. If it's a long amount of time, say you only prayed three for dhuhr, and then you left your house and you went to work, and then at work you remembered I only prayed three. Can you just do one more rakah at work? Mm-hmm. You have to do the whole prayer over again. But if you're still in the house or you've been a long time, didn't go by, you can complete it, inshallah. By the way, I forgot to mention, when the two cases, if you're the imam, if you're praying alone and you doubt about whether you did the fourth rakah or not, you add an extra one, right? And for the imam, the scholars, they actually have a different ruling. They say he should do the taharri, which means he tries to figure out, make ijtihad, which one he did. He doesn't just automatically add an extra rak'ah. He tries to figure it out. And I think even some of the books of fiqh, they say that he can, he does the two sajdas, before he stands up or sits down, he can kind of wait and see if the people stand up or sit down. And he can even take an indication from that. If the people stay sitting, he says, okay, alhamdulillah, I did four. And if they stand up, then he stands up and he gets up quickly and he does the fourth, inshallah. So he does taharri. You don't always, when you're praying as an imam, you don't always automatically add an extra rakah if you forgot. But when you're praying by yourself, it's better to add an extra one, just to make completely sure. But in all cases, when you have a doubt in some aspect of the prayer, you should do sajda sahu. If you doubted whether you did it or not, inshallah. Let's see here, anything else? Inshallah. So this is an important issue about the Prophet ﷺ forgetting or not. And the ulama, they there's a hadith of Bilal radiallahu anhu, where he was, the Sahaba had come back from a battle. And they were up the whole night. And it was just before Fajr, they were very, very tired. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to rest. And he told Bilal, please stay up and wake us up when the time for Fajr comes in. So Bilal radiallahu anhu, he went and he put his camel down and he laid against the camel facing the east where the sun is going to rise. And all the rest of the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ fell asleep. And Bilal, he says, I don't know what happened to me. The next thing I noticed, the sun was shining on my face. He fell asleep. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he woke up and he saw what had happened. And he wanted to wake the Prophet ﷺ up. He said, we missed Fajr, the sun rose already. So Umar, he wanted to wake the Prophet ﷺ up, but the other Sahaba, they said, leave the Prophet ﷺ, because his heart is awake, even though his eyes sleep, and maybe he's getting wahi. They didn't know, but they didn't want to wake the Prophet ﷺ. So Umar, he starts making takbir. He says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet ﷺ, he woke up. And then the Sahaba, they said, we missed Fajr, we all fell asleep. The Prophet ﷺ said, where's Bilal? Didn't I tell Bilal to wake us up? So Bilal came and he said, what happened, Bilal? He was joking with Bilal. He was trying to be friendly with him. He said, Bilal, what happened? Bilal said, don't blame me. The same thing happened to all of you. It happened to me. The shaitan. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he actually said, did the shaitan come to you and rock you to sleep? And Bilal says, Ashadu an, he says, that's exactly what happened. Shaitan came to me and he started making me feel tired and rocked me to sleep. So then Abu Bakr, he says, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. How did the Prophet know this? that that's what happened to Bilal. He said exactly what the shaitan did to Bilal. And then the Prophet said, let's get out from this valley because there's a shaitan here that made us all sleep, and let's go somewhere else. Then they called Adhan, they prayed the two sunnahs, Al-Fajr, and then they prayed Salatul Fajr. So in this hadith we learn several lessons. One is that the Prophet he didn't purposely miss Fajr. The Prophet wouldn't purposely miss Fajr, even though his heart is awake, but Allah caused him to oversleep that prayer, so that we could learn a lesson. What lesson do we learn? We learn that if a person, they oversleep the prayer for Fajr, they pray as soon as they wake up. Here in this case, the Prophet ﷺ told him to leave that valley because there was a shaitan there. But for us, we don't know the ghaib. We don't know if there's a shaitan or not. So we just pray wherever we are, inshallah. We don't travel somewhere else. But we also learn you can call the adhan, as they did. They called the adhan. And you should pray sunnah before the fard. Even if you miss the fard, the fajr, you don't go right away to the fard. It shows you how important the sunnah is. That even though they were praying qada, they started with the sunnah. And so the Prophet ﷺ never left the sunnah even on the journeys. He always prayed the sunnah. Even though the other salah, he didn't pray the sunnahs. The dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, he didn't pray sunnah. But for fajr, he did pray the sunnah. Even this is qada, he did that. So we learned all these lessons from what happened with the Prophet ﷺ. One very important lesson is that when you miss or oversleep a prayer, forget, you pray it right away. When you remember, you wake up. You don't wait till the next day. Some people, they used to think that if you miss Fajr, you have to wait till the Fajr time the next day. You pray Fajr and you pray another Fajr. Some people thought that. But then the Prophet ﷺ, he actually said regarding that, whoever forgets a prayer or sleeps, then the time for it is when he wakes up or when he remembers it. So we just pray right away if we oversleep a prayer. So all these lessons we learned from that hadith of Bilal. Okay, so is there any other questions, inshallah? Yes, brother. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Is it okay? We'll start with the uncle here. Yes, brother.
When something is zahir, meaning the imam is sitting instead of standing, or standing instead of sitting, everybody knows what the mistake is meaning behind. But
yes.
In terms of the things that are not exposed to your known to the followers, for
yes.
example, if you are in tashahhud, if you are reciting Fatiha, by mistake,
yes, yes. yes.
instead of reciting Fatiha, but nobody else knows,
yes.
you know. You come to know, but after that, is there any rule on that?
If the imam makes a mistake that requires the yes, that yes, that it's not the other people didn't make the mistake, but he made the mistake. Like he, for example, he missed the tashahhud. There's a good point also. Jazakallah khair. When you sit for the tashahhud, and the first tashahhud, and if you miss it, you stand up. You make sajda sahu, right? This is what the Prophet did. Are you making sajda sahu because you didn't sit? Or are you making sajda sahu because you didn't say the tashahud? Ahsan. The scholars, they say that it's the sitting itself that requires the sajda sahu. What you recite during it, that first time, it doesn't require a sajda sahu. This is the strongest view. So if you sat in, somebody sat in the first tashahud and he read Fatiha by accident, and he sat long enough, and then he stood up. Imam or ma'mum, either one. In the end, he doesn't have to do sajda sahu because it's the sitting itself that requires the sajda sahu to make up for it. So he, in this case, he sat, so his prayer is okay, inshallah. But in another example, another case, if he did something that requires sajda sahu, like he had a doubt about a rak'ah, for example. Did I pray three or I didn't pray four? And he does the taharri, and he finds out he figures out that he should pray four, that he already prayed four, and then he completes his prayer. He should still do sajda sahu. Even though the other people, they didn't have the doubt. And everybody else has to follow their imam. The imam does the sajda sahu because he had a doubt. The rest of the people do sajda sahu because they're following the imam. Not because they had a doubt, or not because they missed anything, but because of the general obligation to follow the imam, and doing two extra sajdas of sahu is not something that would invalidate the prayer, so it's good to follow him in that, inshallah. Yes, sir. Yes, fadl.
If the ma'mun forgets, for example, dhuhr prayer, forgets to read fatha, goes from the opening dua to the ikhlas or something, doesn't read fatha, but the imam knows.
There's a difference of opinion about that. If the imam's fatiha counts for the ma'mum or not, there's a difference of opinion. The Hanafis say the imam's recitation suffices for the ma'mum, and they all say that if you join the imam in ruku' and you didn't read fatiha, that's sufficient. You don't have to make up that ruku'. So depending on which view you follow, if you do follow the view that you have to read fatiha for each ruku' behind the imam, then in that case, Your rakah is invalid, and in the end you have to bring another rakah after the imam finishes, and you do sajda sahu in the end, inshallah ta'ala. And his brother was next, and then you, inshallah. Fadl.
My question is how long is allowed to do the soul sajda, if it is my salah is like you have to pray again your salah. So you said so sajda is not sufficient for your mistake. So how long is loading valid for? Okay. What about mistake you have done in your salah? But you have to pray your salah again,
Okay. This is a good question. Very, very important question. Somebody did a mistake, maybe they did it for a long time in their life. Right? Maybe they realized later on in life, my prayer's been invalid all these years because I didn't do wudu properly, I missed a spot, or I missed a part on my ankles, or I didn't say fatiha when I should have been. These are different cases. And the answer to that is, if it was due to ignorance, we have several hadith that the Prophet ﷺ corrected some sahaba for major mistakes, and he didn't tell them to repeat their past prayers, which indicates that due to ignorance, the past prayers are forgiven, inshallah. Like for example, the hadith of the man who prayed very quickly. He came in the masjid, he said, Allahu Akbar. They say the hadith of Masih li Salah, the person who did a bad prayer. He's got famous, this sahabi, may Allah be pleased with him. So he came and he started praying very quickly, Allahu Akbar, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't even stop in the position. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he came, he said, go back and pray, you didn't pray. So he said, okay, and then he went back, he prayed again the same way, too fast. And he's skipping like the rukun, like if you, to stay still is obligatory. If you don't come up from your ruku' and stay still, then this is something that breaks the prayer, invalidates the prayer. Standing up after the ruku' is obligatory. Being still in the ruku', like, so you know how some people go like this? Allahu Akbar, Sami Allahu Liman Hamidah. They don't even... And they go down in sajda, Allahu Akbar, like pecking. The Prophet ﷺ called it like pecking. So those people, their prayer, if they know it and they do it on purpose, prayer is invalid. But if they didn't know, then what we learned from the hadith of that man who prayed too fast, he came back again. The third time, he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is all I know, teach me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, when you stand up, you say, Allahu Akbar, thumma tatma'in. Come to a stillness. Then when you make the ruku', go down, ثُمَّ تَطْمَئِن. Make sure you become still. Then when you come up, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ ثُمَّ تَطْمَئِن. And how do we know that these are rukuns of the prayer? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, go back and pray because you didn't pray. So this shows you that those things, those being still, are rukuns of the prayer. I know some people, unfortunately, a lot of people that they grew up in the villages and things like that, India, they pray like so fast, you know? And unfortunately those prayers are invalid. So they have to be taught that you have to be still. You can't peck, like you have to be still in a sajda. You have to sit in between the two sajdas. You can't just go like this and go down again. You teach them, do they have to make up their whole life prayers that they didn't do? Alhamdulillah, of this deen, this is a mercy that for jahl, some matters where we're ignorant about, inshallah, once we learn, then we start applying them and we don't have to make up the previous salawat, inshallah ta'ala. I don't know if that was the answer to your question, but...
it's part of the answer.
Yes.
My question is like, you know, when I am required to pray my salah again, like in, if I.
Okay. I see. Okay. So you're asking, what is the one?
The sources that is not sufficient for me. I have to make my salah again.
That's a good question. Basically, you have to repeat your prayer over from the beginning. If a long time period went by, and it was a major mistake, leaving out in the when we study the fiqh, you have something called rukn. Rukn is something like these pillars you have in the masjid. If you take it out, then the whole act of worship is invalidated. And so in the prayer, for example, doing the two sajdas are considered pillars. If you miss one, you did only one, then the prayer is invalid. So missing a rukn in the prayer, it invalidates the prayer. What are the rukns of the prayer? It will take us a long time. We have to actually go through everything. But the takbiratul ihram, reading Fatiha according to most ulama, my understanding is the Hanafiya, they consider Fatiha wajib but not rukn. Which means if you miss Fatiha, you do two sajdas in the end and it's okay. But the majority, they say you have to read Fatiha. Whether you read or the imam reads, there's a difference of opinion. Some ulama say it's enough if the imam reads the Fatiha, it counts for you too. You don't have to read the surah after the Fatiha. Most ulama say is sunnah. Doing the ruku is a rukn, and the standing is a rukn also. You can't pray sitting down. Praying sitting down without an excuse, the prayer is invalid. So the takbiratul ihram, standing up, the Fatiha, going in ruku'ah, the stillness in the ruku'ah, the stillness has to be there too. Coming up from the ruku'ah and being still again, this going down in sajda, that's a rukn. Sitting up from the sajda is a rukn. Being still during that sitting is a rukn. Going for the second sajda is a rukn. Being still in the sajda is a rukn. So many people miss the stillness part. So being still is a rukn, then coming up again, and the rest of the prayer the same way, inshallah. So these are the arkan. Yes. The last tashahud, the last tashahud, the salat, the tahiyyatu lillah is a rukn. The salat al-ibrahimiyah, the salat al-ibrahimiyah, we covered this. I think it's a sunnah. I think it's a sunnah, yes. Naam. The last rakah, the first sitting is a sunnah, and the tashahud in it is also a sunnah. So that's not a rukn. If you miss that, your prayer is still good. In the end of the prayer, you have to do the tahiyyat. That's also considered a rukn. I think there's many ulama consider the salah on Prophet Muhammad also a rukn, but I'm not sure. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It's a rukn? Inshallah. There might be a difference of opinion, I think there is. And the taslim. Taslim is most ulama consider rukn also. The first one, some ulama say both. And the Hanafi say that you don't have to even. I think they consider it a wajib. And they have a joke. Not a joke, but like in a fiqhi mashab, they talk about how the different madahib. So they say in the Maliki school, you can pray wearing the dog skin. Because dog is tahir. And in the Hanafi school, if you finished your last tashahud and you broke wind, your prayer is still valid. And I don't know what they say, the other schools, Ahmad, and they have these, every madhab has some leeways and some different opinions in it. But the majority, they say that you have to say at least one taslim. Some of them say you have to do both. In the Maliki school, somebody asked this question before, you only do one salam, that's the arjah, I think, in the Maliki school. Like they pray, they say, As-salamu alaykum. That's it. One taslim in a Maliki school. But these are the ones that I mentioned are the ones that are agreed upon, inshallah. Those are the things, if you miss any one of those, you have to repeat that rakah. You don't have to repeat the whole prayer. If you miss the Fatiha in the first rakah, then you repeat one rakah, and in the end you bring one more. But if a long time went past, and you went to a different place, then you have to start the whole prayer over again. Is that clear? You don't have to do the prayer over. If you miss one of the arkan, you weren't still. Say you're remembering, I said, in my first sajda, I went down too fast and I didn't get still in that sajda. So then in the end, you bring one more rakah to complete your prayer, inshallah. So the those are the pillars: the sajdas, the rukus, the standing, the fatiha, and the stillness, and the ending tashahud, and the taslim, inshallah, and the takmiratul ihram. You have to make the takmiratul ihram in the beginning, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Any other questions? Yes, tada.
The ma'mun.
Yes.
Two sajda.
Yes. If the ma'mun left something out or he had a doubt. Yes. If he left out, he had a sahu. If he left something, if he did something like some small mistake that not in a rukun, then he can. He follows the imam. Does he do the sajda sahu on his own? Definitely, if he's adding another rakah, like he came late and he did another rakah and he made a mistake in the extra rakah, then definitely he does sajda sahu. But if he's with the imam, and the imam makes a mistake. Kids, ya ahbab, you're making me have sahu now, kids. If he did it in his own prayer, definitely does sahu. If he did it with the imam, Sheikh Sajid, do you know? If he did he made a sahu with the imam.
There's another hadith coming up later on in the chapter.
No. Oh, okay.
It says in the text of the hadith, it says the ma'mun is no sahu for the ma'mun.
No sahu.
There's a difference of opinion in the hadith.
There's some differences amongst them.
It's coming up later on.
Inshallah, inshallah.
If you forget to say subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you must.
Yes, yes. That would be, yeah, that might be something, but Sheikh said we're going to cover that. I think there's more details. There's not one view on that, inshallah. But definitely, if you were doing it in your own, like you came late and you did your own rakah and you made a mistake, of course, you do sajda sahu. If you join the imam late and he made a mistake in the first rakah and you didn't even pray the first rakah with him and he does sajda sahu in the end, you follow the imam, right? Yes.
Some imams, they do the sajda sahu after the taslim, not before the taslim.
You came late.
No, I'm saying, so if that happens, and you, for example, you missed a rakah, then the imam says salam, and then you have to say the sahu. What should you do? Should you?
People who come late can't ask hard questions. Any other questions, inshallah? Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward all of you. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik.